let's bring in Paul Schatz, Heritage Capital President. Always good to have you here, Paul. And just want to put into context a little bit of what we're witnessing here. Nobody likes when they see the value of anything they've got go down, unless they're, defrauding the insurers. But here's the deal. When we look at the S&P 500, it's down a little over 1% if you look at the past month. It's up, if you go back 3 months, roughly 1.5%. You are expecting, and you're telling people, get ready, there's going to be a 5% drop, maybe even greater. And the way you said it to us was there's going to be some damage and it's going to take time to repair it. So as an average investor, what should we be preparing for looking forward?
And it's good to see you, too. Look, I was on with you a couple of weeks ago to begin the year. Market was at an all-time high. And what I said was, I fully expect a 5% plus pullback in the first quarter. And I think the S&P is probably down roughly 4 and change right now, along with the Dow. The other indices are down much more. And my roadmap would be something like a pullback in the first quarter, we regain it in the second quarter. The bigger decline comes in the third quarter, we regain it in the fourth quarter. The year is all about patience, frustration, and quality. It's not going to be a fun year. But regarding right now, the market's trading, there has been damage done, and it's going to take time to repair. But given what the Fed has thrown at it, the market's done fairly well. Given the inflation numbers, the market's done phenomenally well. The average investor, if you're nimble enough to prune, to harvest some acorns for the winter, I think you'll be well served. The problem, Adam, is that the average person is overloaded with and overowned and over anything else you want to call it with the mega cap tech stocks. And so many of those people, similar to the refrain I heard 20 years ago was 21 years ago now, I'm not selling them. They've been great. Well, you quoted returns, and it all depends on the context. Are you looking at the 1 week, the 1 month, the 1 quarter, the 1 year? So some of these tech stocks are going to be in for some hurt this year. So the individual investor, you shouldn't be overweighted in mega cap tech. Use what rallies we get to feed the ducks, to sell a little bit. But don't sit back and think that this year is going to be hugely rewarding for big tech. It's not.
Paul, as you mentioned, we have a Fed that's set to start raising rates and tightening financial conditions. We've received disappointing earnings results from many of the big banks and other early reporters so far. Are there positive catalysts you see coming up for the market, or should investors be bracing for more volatility for a while?
Yes, to answer to all your questions. So one, bank earnings are notoriously difficult to read, way above my pay grade. But let me say, and we own JP Morgan and some others. I would not overreact because of what happens right around earnings. Bank earnings, difficult. You normally see a pullback. I wouldn't read too much into that. Regarding everything else, yes. I mean, earnings are going to slow. GDP is going to slow this year. The Fed is the main culprit here. It's not Omicron. I said this back on October 28th with you guys. The spin could be Omicron. It's not. This is all about the Fed. They should have begun the taper in the summer of 2020, very slowly and gradually, so they could slowly and gradually raise rates, so they can slowly and gradually feed some of their assets into the market. They denied inflation was an issue. Now they're playing over catch up, just like they did in Q4 of 18 when the stock market went down 20%. And while I don't think 20% is a decline in the cards for the first quarter, any decline we get, the volatility, we're going to have a volatile year. You want to blame someone? Blame Jay Powell. And this is all at Jay Powell's feet. He saw what the government was doing. The government was stimulating the economy and overstimulating it. And I get it. It's not a partisan statement. Both Republicans, Democrats did it. But the Fed just kept pouring gasoline on it. And they're fully to blame for this. And what comes the rest of the year?
When we talk about these kinds of things, especially interest rates, most of us experience interest rates through the loans, whether it's a car loan, credit cards, or mortgages. We have a video up right now, the housing market demand driven by millennials aging into home ownership. I want to get your analysis of what should, again, as average investors, how do we play what we know is coming? There's going to be an increase in interest rates, but we also have on the other side mortgage rates going up. We have great demand from a whole class of people who are forming families and want to get out of their parents' homes or out of their roommate situation. Is there a way to appropriately use that very on-the-table fact to invest?
So you brought up interest rates, and you specifically said, you know, mortgage rates, I think credit cards and auto loans. Our thesis for this year is the bond market is going to form a low in the first quarter. Whether or not the 10-year gets above 2%, we can argue it doesn't matter. I think you can buy any yield spike above 2%, and I think you'll be rewarded this year. I think mortgage rates will actually trend lower the second half of the year and reward those millennials, or actually there's a generation behind it. I can't remember the name of it because they call me the boomer now. But I would not worry if I were younger, looking to get out of my parents' house, my roommate situation, buy a car, take out a mortgage, because I think those rates, while the short-term rates the Fed controls are going to go up, I think those long-term rates are going to stabilize and then trend lower last three quarters of the year and reward everybody. So I'm not so concerned there. The big problem, frankly, for those folks is the real estate prices are outrageously expensive. So patience is a virtue in the real estate market.
Okay, boomer. You set yourself up for that when you called yourself.
My kids call me it all the time, Adam. I can't get away from it.
Well, I'm almost a boomer. I'm actually early Gen X, but, you know, behind us, Gen Z, millennials.
I'm 55. I'm not really a, yeah. I'm not a boomer, but.
You're Gen X.
Like the, that's
if you're
like
55, you're Gen X.
House. Right, we're in the same.
Allowance. Paul Schatz, the president of Heritage
Thank
Capital.
You.
All the best
you.
To you. Thank you for joining us.